your favorite albums. Discussed.
Track by track.
On today's podcast. Now, here are your hosts, Campbell and Jack.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Track by Track with Campbell and Jack, here for podcast number two of the day. As you may have heard in the previous podcast, we're doing two in a row, and joining me is quite a chirpy, happy, quite relaxed Jack Walker.
I feel very relaxed today, Campbell. Yeah, mainly because we just went out for a lovely meal.
We had a lovely meal, didn't we?
Bit of lunch.
Yeah, lunch. What a lunch. What was the place called?
The Rustic Table.
Rustic Table.
Rustic Table. It's a great little cafe in Burwood.
Mm.
Just a nice little strip of shops. Yeah. Very, very varied strip of shops, yeah. I must say.
Yeah, if you want some Thai food or to get your hair done. Great spot.
Well, you know what's funny? This is something I brought up to you, is that along that strip of shops, there are 7 hair salons or places you can get your hair cut.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a fairly small strip of shops as well.
Talk about a diverse market, you know.
It's not how well you can get your hair cut. It's how many times you can get it cut.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, this is unprecedented in Track by Track. We've never done 2 episodes in a row.
No, so for those who may have just decided, hey, they're doing Noel Gallagher's new album, I'm going to give that a listen. And, you know, they may have no idea what we're talking about. So, as you said before, Campbell, we're doing 2 podcasts in a row back-to-back. So, we did the Midnight Oil podcast 10-1 just before.
Which has been up for a few days now.
Oh, surely been universally acclaimed by many, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. We're probably super famous right now.
Exactly.
You've decided, given that we did Liam Gallagher's debut album,
as you were, yes,
we'd look at his brother Noel's efforts.
Yeah, so I thought it would be interesting because, of course, Liam and Noel formed the basis for the legendary British band Oasis.
Mm.
I say legendary because they are legendary, regardless of how you perceive Oasis, whether you like them or not.
Yes,
just their legacy is something to be admired.
Yeah, yeah.
The fact that.
You can't deny that, can you, surely?
No, I mean, if they reformed and decided to do 3 nights in a row at Wembley Stadium, they'd sell all 3 nights out.
Yeah, I would go to all 3, Jay.
Oh, of course you would.
I'd book tickets so I would see every show.
They're just an incredibly popular band, and I think a lot of that is warranted.
Mm.
A lot of it does come from, I believe, it's called the wibbling rivalry, if I can actually say it, between Liam and Noel.
Mm.
You see, as we've brought up previously, Liam and Noel, how would you say it, Campbell? They just don't...
They're not on the best of terms, perhaps.
They hate each other.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, yes, they were in a band for 20 years, but they just didn't like each other.
Yeah.
But yet they were able to pump out some of the great songs of the 90s and early 2000s.
Absolutely.
So now both of them... after the breakup of Oasis, we find both of them on separate paths. Liam just released his first solo effort. He was in another band called BDI,
mm,
which, you know, we're okay. And Noel's just pumped out his third solo album called Who Built the Moon. So I think we should have a look at it, Campbell.
Absolutely.
It was written in the studio, which is not something I've ever done before. Usually I would sit at home and kind of, you know, chip away at a song and kind of craft it. And for this particular record, producer David said, let's write it in the studio and let's just see where it takes us. So some of the melodies are not really what you would associate with me, but it was such a blast doing it, really kind of fascinating, and there was a spirit of adventure. And for instance, you know, songs were born out of conversations, like Fort Knox was born out of a conversation about Kanye West. Songs were born out of conversations about Blondie, and the producer would say, well, why don't you write a song for Blondie? I'm like, okay.
I met David at a festival on my first solo tour, and I was like, oh, I really hope we might make a record together. And then he said, well, look, if you want to make a record, come to Belfast and we'll just do another record. And I said, well, what about the songs? And he said, just do it in the studio, which was kind of daunting at first. But so what I would do is I would work 2 weeks in London on Chasing Yesterday, and then go off to Belfast and work 2 weeks on that, and then come back, and I was making them concurrently.
Yeah, it's a trip for sure. It's fairly different to what I'm known for, and I think when it finally comes out, people are going to really like it.
Now, I must say, just for all the listeners, this is essentially what we call a blind listen. I've never heard this album.
Yeah, well, for you anyway.
For me, Jack went ahead and gave it a listen.
Couldn't resist. As the unabashed Noel fan that I am.
Now, you've actually seen Noel live.
I have seen Noel live.
So that gives you an idea of the fascination that you have with Noel's music.
I do have quite the fascination with his music, particularly his solo stuff.
Mm.
Of like, because I think he has pumped out some absolutely fantastic records so far.
Mm.
We'll see if today, Who Built the Moon is added to that
so of course,
category.
Of course, as a solo comes out months or weeks before the album comes out, I've heard
Holy Mountain.
And that's all I've heard.
That's all you've heard.
So this is going to be completely new. It can be a bit different, I suppose, from the last album we did, we both kind of knew.
Yeah, 10 to 1.
Independently.
Mm.
So yeah, if you haven't heard that,
Give it a listen.
So yeah, I mean, it's Noel Gallagher's music isn't something I would generally listen to. Saying that, neither is Liam Gallagher's album, but probably still my favourite album at the moment, Liam Gallagher's As You Were.
It's a great album, isn't it?
So yeah, we did that one. What was that, two podcasts ago?
Yeah, a couple of podcasts ago.
Yeah, well, least, yeah. Three now, given the given Tuesday's release.
That's true.
So I feel. I don't know anything about this album, so if you have any trivia or anything, educate me more than anything, Jack.
Well, I'll give you some background. So I'm not sure if you've had a listen to any of Noel's solo stuff before this.
No.
So previous to this, Noel's sort of just been doing just sort of typical Noel stuff, essentially.
Which is
just sort of very Oasis-y tunes, very sort of just very straightforward, I suppose you could say.
But no, Noel seems to be more the, from the little I know about Oasis, as a band, I know their music quite well, but as a band, he seems to be the rock and roll element of the band. Whereas I feel Liam Gallagher is the pop star.
Okay, interesting. Yeah,
you know what I mean, like Liam Gallagher is the Robbie Williams.
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
Whereas Noel Gallagher is the Johnny Rotten. You know what I mean? He's the.
Just in comparing a modern day boy band to a punk group of the 70s.
Yeah, I mean, but he's the gutsy element, isn't he?
I always thought Liam was a bit more gutsy than Noel, but like Noel always struck me as more of the guy who wouldn't really get into trouble as much as Liam.
Right.
But, you know, he's the older brother. He's that little bit wiser.
I don't mean rock and roll as a personality. I mean what he brings to the group.
Okay.
Like, I think Liam's vocals are the kind of the beauty of it all. At least that's what I like, you know. Something like Champagne Supernova.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Liam's, that's his thing.
Yeah.
And even Wonderwall is very much a vocal thing. And
yeah.
Like, do you hear much? You hear a lot of Noel on this album? Is it all Noel, really, singing?
Yeah. Oh, for the most part, yeah, there's some backing vocals here and there that other people brought in to do, but it's pretty much all Noel.
Right.
Who's singing. And look, Noel sung a lot on Oasis records, even though Liam was...
The singer.
A singer,
yeah,
as he would say.
Yeah.
He was more or less the voice of Oasis. Noel was very much the brains behind it all. He wrote a lot of the songs that Liam ended up singing, like Champagne Supernova and even Wonderwall.
Yeah.
So Noel's the real brainchild behind it all. Yet, you know, Liam was able to produce some real good material on his last album. With this album, I've just talked about how Noel, his last couple albums, has been a bit straightforward in his material. You know, sort of acoustic-y ballads and...
Which is his strength, though.
Very much so. He can write fantastic four-chord ballad. Noel Gallagher, that's his bread and butter. There's none of that on here.
Right.
It's a lot more psychedelic, a lot more out there, I'd go to say.
Right.
But yes, definitely a lot more psychedelic. A lot more focus has been brought into instrumentation and tone and just how that can be used to really bring forward the power of the song.
Yeah, this feels like this podcast as we are now, feels like an interview.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? Because I don't know anything about this. I'm just trying to gauge a bit of background.
You can
story.
Be the interviewer. I'll be Noel. I'll tell you about my album.
My album. excuse me, Noel. So give me some trivia. Is there some release dates, producers, any musicians that
certainly.
You're looking out for?
Certainly. So
take it away, Noel.
It was released on the... I can't do a Manchester accent. No, that's the only problem.
Tough.
So I'll just stick to normal accent.
Sounds good.
So it was released on the 24th of November, 2017. Now, for us today, that was just 3 days ago.
But really,
it's over a week ago for those listening now.
Yeah.
Or even longer if you're listening to this in like 5 years' time.
Yeah.
It was produced by David Holmes.
Okay.
Who's done a lot of...
H-O-L-M-E-S.
H-O-L-M-E-S, yes.
Yeah, great. Like Sherlock. Is he any relation to Sherlock?
I don't think so.
Sherlock is somehow, a fictional character.
Somehow, I really don't think so.
Okay.
So, for those who don't know David Holmes, he's actually known as an electronic musician.
Oh, there you go.
So, it's quite interesting that Noel would reach out to someone like David to produce the album.
Hmm.
But saying that his influence is certainly felt in a lot of the songs, not saying that they're electronic, but just with that added instrumentation is something that he would certainly... add to the table.
Right.
But funnily enough, Dave is actually known primarily as a film composer.
There you go.
Just some of the films he's done. He's done the Oceans films, like Oceans 11, Oceans
yes.
12.
Yep.
He's done Good Vibrations.
Mm-hmm.
He's done, not many of these I know outside of Oceans 11, 12 and 13.
That's his big
Logan Lucky, like the new one with Daniel Craig.
Okay.
Not sure if you've heard of that one. I saw a preview for it a little while ago. It looked pretty good.
Does it look like I've heard of it?
No.
No.
No. For everyone listening, the expression on Campbell's face right now is very... One of much confusion.
Yeah, like, I feel like... one of much confusion. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so he's got a bit of a different background, which is interesting, though, because he could have just gone with the standard, you know...
Yeah, and it's funny. Now that I read that, a lot of the songs have a real film soundtrack feel to them.
Right.
Very atmospheric, very... They could be used as... part of a film.
I see.
Honestly, good. Now, the front cover of the album. Have you seen the front cover of the album?
No. Does it have a moon on it?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, there you go.
Here, I'll show it. I'll show you now, Campbell.
Oh, thank you, man. Oh, yeah. It does have the sky in it, though, I suppose.
Well, maybe and, maybe the moon can be seen in the sky?
Absolutely.
How crazy is that?
Absolutely.
But it should be worth noting that you saw the woman in the front cover?
Nope.
The bottom left?
No, who's that?
That is Noel Gallagher's wife.
Oh, there you go.
Sarah McDonald.
Oh, there you go.
Just a nice little touch. Now, moving on to some special guests. Now, this album features some contributions by the likes of Johnny Marr.
Yes, Johnny Marr.
The Smiths. He actually appeared on Noel's last album. And Paul Weller, who's known for his work as part of The Jam.
The Jam. The old English punk band.
Yeah, New Wavy or something, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they got that way in the end. Because none of them died. That's a big thing, you know.
That's sad.
Well, it is with a punk band. Yeah, one of them's got to die. That's the way it goes.
Exactly. I didn't have much else.
Well, it's brand new, mate. So it's
there's not much trivia for a new album such as this.
Well, then I suppose we should jump into the first album. Right. The first album.
The first album of the first song.
The first song of the first album.
First album of the song. All right, so here it is. This song is it's quite an interesting opening track because
okay.
it really has that film soundtrack feel to it.
Okay.
It's very much an instrumental.
All right.
And here it is. It's called Fort Knox. Very frantic at times. What do you think?
The drums sound good.
They do, don't they?
Yep.
Do you have anything else to add?
the drums sound really good, don't they? That was quite muddy, quite poorly separated, poorly mixed.
You reckon?
Yeah, quite annoying. All that little bell that went through the whole thing.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Just kind of annoying, like biting into a like an orange peel. You know what I mean? Like it's astringent. I don't know. One, I'm not really sure about instrumental tracks as openers, as a general rule.
As a general rule.
So, There's that. The drums sound great. I can I see what you mean about the atmospheric kind of movie track thing.
Yeah.
I like the kind of the soundscape of it. I like the obviously there was a plan there. It was calculated and thought out. You can definitely argue. However, I don't feel as if there was enough time given to structure. The most important thing about instrumental music is structure.
Yep.
Look at jazz is all instrumental, all about structures, all about A, B, A, B, A, B, C, 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 D, if you want. You can have it as complex or as simple as you like. But I feel there needs to be that kind of defined structure, which is something I think it lacked. And I think it was probably a little too long as well.
Okay, no, fair enough, yeah.
That's just on a first listen.
No, that's fine. Yeah, look, I've had a few more listens, I suppose, to absorb it. But this is a song that I actually find really interesting in regards to instrumentation.
Yeah.
Like something like the ringing bell, I think that adds maybe not necessarily pleasing to the ear, but I sort of see it as like, you look at the song title, Fort Knox.
Yeah.
I sort of see it as the film soundtrack, it's like a soundtrack to, you know, breaking into Fort Knox, and once... you know, they break in, that's when the bell goes off, and it's like, that's when everything starts to become a little frantic, and then it's like security guards are after them.
And yeah, and I got that. Mm. And I definitely, that's what I'm saying, that vision, like that idea of what they wanted to achieve was really clear. And I think it was delivered, but I'm not sure if it was delivered in the way that I kind of wanted it to sound. You know what I mean?
No,
if it was just like an intro, if it wasn't a whole song. I liked the sound of it, don't get me wrong. I liked how it sounded in my ear. But I'm struggling to see where they're going as far as... perhaps it was on purpose. Like, the bass was really loud. And like, it was really muddy.
Yeah, that was
and
feeling
so
muddy,
the drums and the bass kind of...
Drums sound good.
The drums sound really good, by the way. But yeah, I just would like to see more structure. That's just me. I don't know if that was what they were going for, if they were just going for that one singular piece. But yeah.
No, completely fine. Just funnily enough, I said this was sort of like an instrumental thing, yet the part I played before had lyrics. In regards to lyrical content, I think it's about getting oneself together.
Yeah, you gotta get yourself together. Yeah, well, yeah, I don't know if there's anything to do with Fort Knox, though. Do you?
I do.
Okay, cool. Just wanted to clarify that.
Let's be honest, it's just a song bashing Liam.
Mm. Yeah, probably.
You've got to get yourself together.
Yeah, maybe.
It's all about just Liam. It's like all Liam songs are about Noel.
Yeah.
Noel songs are about Liam, clearly.
Certainly can be argued.
In regards to some of the other stuff, I think there's some good slide guitar around. Sort of like the... I'm not really sure if I'd call it a chorus or a pre-chorus or something, but there's...
It's funny that, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're not sure where it is in the song.
Well, yeah, it's hard because it is an instrumental for the most part. But there was some really cool slide guitar with like some backing vocals that I really liked. So I'll give that a play now. Outside of that, I think that's about all I have to say. As an opening track, I quite like it.
Okay, I'm not sold.
You're not sold.
But
it's sort of like an Outside World from the Midnight Oil album last week.
Exactly right. Yeah, it's not sold on it, but it's certainly an interesting idea opening with an instrumental track.
Anyway, I think we'll move on to the next song. So this is the song you've heard, Campbell. This is the single.
Ah.
Holy Mountain. Very big old-fashioned feel in that song in regards to like the structure and the sort of tone they're going for.
There is.
Where do you sit? Where's your mind at?
My mind's at the fact that he is as you say, one of the most prolific songwriters of the last 30, 40 years, in my humble. She fell right under my spell as the crux of your song. Seems pretty easy to me.
Well, you've spoken about how a lot of Oasis songs seem easy.
Yeah. Well, but yeah, go on.
So how is that a hindrance, I suppose? There's nothing wrong with being easy.
No, I agree. But, you know, Love Me Do is easy, but it's really good.
So if the Beatles had written She Fell Under My Spell, would it have been seen any different?
Probably not, because it was in a different time, I think. I think this is, it's dated songwriting, I find.
Well, I think that's what he's going for with this particular song, because the sound is such a 60s song. There's some Beach Boys sort of doo-wops in the background or something.
Yeah, I noticed that.
You can really hear the scissors as well.
Yes. Yeah, the scissors.
So if everyone isn't aware, scissors apparently play a bit of a part in Noel Gallagher's album here. I'm not sure if you saw it, but I think it was Noel Gallagher.
Jules Holland, yeah.
Yeah, on Jules Holland. And he was doing a couple of songs from his new album. And amongst his band was a girl who appeared to be playing the scissors. And what she was doing is she was literally opening and closing the scissors in front of a microphone in time with the rhythm of the song.
Yeah.
Which is just bizarre. I mean, that's the sort of Noel I don't like.
Sort of the wank kind of thing.
Yeah, that little like wacky Noel.
Yeah.
That's a good name for a TV show, Wacky Noel.
Wacky Noel.
But, so that's a bit weird. But saying that, things like the addition of the flute in this song.
Yeah, I found that weird though.
I like it.
Did you?
Yeah, I think it's a really weird addition, yeah. But I think it works beautifully in the song.
I mean, it might have taken me by surprise, I suppose. But one thing we can't skip over before we get too far ahead is that intro.
I knew you'd bring this
is
up.
Is a striking resemblance to the Brian Ferry song, Let's Stick Together.
Let's Stick Together, that's right. For those who don't know the song, I think I should, you know, give it a bit of a play. Just the intro bit. And it's a very, very good song.
Oh, fantastic song.
But I suppose when you compare it to Holy Mountain, or you compare Holy Mountain to Let's Stick Together, there are a few resemblances in that intro.
Yeah. What's the Holy Mountain reference?
I have no idea.
Nothing I heard in that song is at all kind of mythical or interesting.
No. But just before we continue with that, I'll just play the intro of Holy Mountain so you can hear
Of course. Yeah.
Subtle.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's in the same key as well, actually.
Yeah, it wouldn't be far off.
That was kind of interesting. It's not as if it's like a B-side. It's quite a well-known song. Yeah, so I don't think it was really my thing.
No, that's fine.
This song, I think it was, yeah, really, it's really kind of muddy mixing as well, isn't it, really? It's really kind of a big sound, I suppose.
Yeah, well, this song definitely has a big sound with that intro, as we just played. There's like the brass, the guitar. There's a lot of different layers there that are just come together to form this like really big sound, but there isn't really any distinction between anything.
Yeah.
It's just all clumped together.
Yeah, sure.
But saying that, I sort of like how big it sounds, if you know what I mean.
Right.
But anyway, we'll move on to the next song now. This is called Keep On Reaching.
Much better.
Yeah, you like that?
Well, I mean, it was pretty chorusy. I was kind of hoping that there'd be another little section.
Mm.
And also, that bass line that he's kind of holding it all together, I think should be a guitar.
Okay.
I think it's just the bass is just a bit heavy. It was a guitar.
So that's a bit of a pattern so far. The bass has just been a little bit overwhelming.
Yeah, it is. It's like overwhelming is a good word.
I didn't pick up on that.
But there's a real, like, some great melodies, and those horns were fantastic, and the big group singing was great.
Yeah, that's great.
But I feel like it had kind of two sections, and maybe needed just one more.
No, that's fair.
Yeah.
I probably agree with that. It's, I mean, it's a short song.
It is a short song, which is nice as well, given the last two.
Yeah. But it's interesting. So this song starts with that sort of keyboard intro, that like lower end like keyboard intro with that really heavy bass drum.
Yeah.
It's like this really, really loud bass drum. Mm. But it sounds really cool, so I'll give that a play.
You know, I've only just made this connection, given it's a an electronic musician who is, I mean, is he mixing it as well? And is he just the producer? You don't know.
I know he's the producer. I'm not sure if he's mixing as well.
Because
I can look at that now if you like.
Yeah, because there's this thing, especially in electronic music, about the bass kind of being in the center and everything moving across, whereas kind of in acoustic music, we don't necessarily have that as a rule, because you know people kind of dance to the bass.
That's true.
So it's interesting that it's mixed in this way because that makes more sense. It's almost mixed like an electronic record.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely hear that in a song like Holy Mountain before, where the bass was very, very evident in just everything.
Yeah,
really, it sort of formed that massive compressed sort of sound that you heard throughout that song. Moving back to Keep On Reaching, so more brass.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah,
I love the title as well, Keep On Reaching. It's a really cool name for a song.
So I'll point out, you were bringing up some of the melodies earlier. I'll bring up the ones in the verse.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got Noel singing that sort of falsetto in the beginning. Yeah, and
that was him, was it?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
His voice sounds great.
He can sing that boy. Yeah. He's really working hard on this one, I feel. He's really belting out some of those chorus.
Yeah, and I feel... Perhaps not, he's not really supported with the mixing because it sounds like he should be a lot louder.
Okay.
But I had to really kind of listen to what he's saying. But if you just focus on the vocals, you'd be missing a lot. But his voice sounds great.
Yeah, so I'll play the verse now and you can hear some of those backing vocals as well, which again is a very 60s thing, you know, the Can You Keep a Secret?
Yeah.
That's a great part, yeah, I'll play that now. Yeah, overall, another great song for mine. Really, really like it. So, did you have anything else to mention?
No.
Let's move on to It's a Beautiful World. It's a beautiful Beautiful World. Is it a beautiful song?
Oh, it's not beautiful.
No.
It's
I was just trying to segue into the discussion, you know?
Yeah.
Just trying to be smart and clever.
Yeah, no, don't do that.
Okay.
Another real kind of chorusy, atmospheric kind of tune.
Yeah.
So I didn't mind it, but yeah, it sounds like it should be on like an action movie, I suppose.
Yeah.
Like the guy's like jumping off the cliff. You know, trying to shoot the plane down or something, you know. But, yeah, I don't know. It's not something that I would probably choose to listen to necessarily.
No, it's fair.
But it sounded cool.
Yeah.
Especially the drums and the bass.
Yeah, there were some cool like syncing things in the verse.
They played together, yeah.
But firstly, I'll point some attention towards that main guitar riff.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, just a guitar, bit of reverb. There's a band I really like called The Cult. I've told you about The Cult plenty of times. I haven't told our listeners about The Cult, but they are a fantastic band. Look them up. They're big friends of the podcast.
Yeah.
Might do that one of their albums one day.
Yep, so I'm sure we will.
Plenty of shoes from, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But they use that same sort of riff all the time in their songs.
Yeah, right.
So this is Noel's sort of interpretation of it, if you will. Yeah. So I'll give that a play now. Then we move to the melody. There's a really good groove in there. Another good verse melody. So I'll also give that a play now. It's like a song. also in that part, you could hear the, you know, the drum and the bass, that real tightness.
Yeah,
and it's that real dance influence again. The sort of,
I think so. Yeah, because they're syncing up almost to the same note.
Yeah,
but that old drum and bass thing, which suits the song. I think it's not over, it's not too overbearing this time, but yeah, I think it's probably the same thing. I feel like it needs a different section, something a bit brighter, just to take us away from that thing. I mean, but the chorus is cool.
I like the chorus, but you know what my problem is? Mm. Is Noel's vocals. It sounds like he's straining a little bit.
Perhaps it's a bit high for him.
Yeah, I mean, to me it sounds like he's forgotten to put in his false teeth.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he's just straining a little bit. He sounds a bit old.
Yeah.
Sounds a bit old. It's a beautiful day. Yeah, precisely.
Yeah, right.
I really like the structure of the chorus, so I think that sounds great. And the other section, which you probably paid attention to, was the French spoken word section.
Well, I was trying to pick the language. Is it French?
It is French.
Right, okay. I was thinking it was Japanese when I first heard it.
Now, it's interesting because I've translated the French dialogue, but firstly, here's the French section for all our French listeners out there.
Wouldn't need to translate it for the French viewers.
No, but I thought they might find it interesting.
They would already know it because they're French.
You know, providing them with a bit of a, you know, just something for our French listeners.
Yeah, I wonder how many French listeners we have.
Well, not many, I feel. No. If you are French, please write in.
Please write in.
What do you think of the French segment in Noel's song "Beautiful World"? But I've got the translation here, and when it's translated, it actually provides a bit of a darker edge.
How did you translate it?
Google Translate, my friend.
Oh, as in the lyrics.
Yeah, I went to the lyrics and just copy pasted.
I was going to say, I didn't know you spoke French.
Let's, for all intents and purposes, let's say I do.
Yeah, okay.
But it translates to, "Ladies and gentlemen, hold on tight and say goodbye. Humanity is melting at both poles. Warning, warning, ladies and gentlemen, borders are closing. Inhale, exhale, carbon monoxide. Relax and rest in peace. It's just the end of the world."
Dear.
So it's really some real apocalyptic sort of overtones there.
And I get that. You know, it's interesting, not knowing that. I didn't know you were going to do that. But that kind of jumping off the cliff thing, as I said before. I mean,
not far off.
It's got that kind of thing, you know. You know, the world's burning or whatever, and you just jump off and you say goodbye, and that's super dark. But
yeah, I really like that edge he added to the... I don't know why I decided to put it in French. Maybe just because, you know, it's a beautiful language and...
But only the French would know that. Oh, that's what it means.
It gives the casual listener something to look at, you know? Something to think about.
Yeah, but...
Maybe Noel had a deal going with Google Translate.
Yeah, that's why it translates so well. But why would he put that in a different language? Like, he may as well just be saying... oranges and spaghetti and lasagna and guitars.
Oh, Noel's a very interesting individual.
Okay.
It sort of borders on wacky Noel, but because it sort of adds this darker
touch to
the song.
Just because you like it, it's not that bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right. But when you don't like it, it's wacky Noel and you don't like wacky
Precisely.
Noel. Okay.
See, right. You're getting it.
I'm just trying That's to understand.
But I do like the, again, that dark edge it adds to the song.
Yeah. Anyway. But we wouldn't know it was a dark edge unless you Googled it.
Yeah, well.
Would we? Ruin that for you.
Next song, "She Taught Me How to Fly." You know the problem with that one?
No.
It's too long.
Is it?
It's a bit repetitive. But otherwise...
Why are you only saying this now?
because I prefer the other songs.
Okay.
This one...
So does the fact that it's repetitive have any bearing, or is it just if it's good and repetitive, it's okay?
Well, I think the sections in this song are quite good, but
again... That One I Love thing is a bit droney, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit droney, and again, it's good one or two times, but when repeated to as many times as he's repeated it there, it just becomes a little bit too much.
So in your opinion, why do you think that musicians do that? Why do you think that they extend those sections beyond...
Maybe they're just really proud of them.
Right.
You know, maybe they just really think that this is a killer hook. Yeah. This is a great chorus, a great verse. I'm just going to make sure...
Do it to death.
I'm going to make sure this, you know, pays the bills, you know?
Yeah.
So I'll repeat it a few times. And the chorus, which is quite good, the whole put your money where your mouth
is. That is cool.
Yeah. That is very cool.
I prefer that than the One I Love. Yeah, because the whole, like, she's divine thing, that doesn't do anything for me.
Mm.
That to me is lazy. That is too easy. It's too simple.
Okay.
You know, like AC/DC is simple, right? But like, you know, the back in 1955, none of them had a lot to do. Tchaikovsky had
the news.
Let There Be Rock, right? That's a simple song.
Yeah.
But the lyrics in that aren't easy.
No.
They're thought about. Yeah. Whereas this, like, the One I Love, She's Divine. I mean, it's nice. It's a nice, you know, it's almost like a lullaby, isn't it, really? But, yeah, I suppose the length and the repetitive thing, I just feel like he's putting the emphasis on the wrong things.
Okay. No, I'd agree with that.
That's my thoughts.
That's fair enough.
Hmm.
I don't have too much else to say. It's a real dance-centric beat with the drums.
Yeah, I noticed, funny enough, as soon as that song started... I heard that the bass and the drums are right in the middle of the mix, and you could hear them as the first thing. Whoa, there they are again.
Mm.
So I wonder, don't tell me, but I wonder if that will change, or if that's going to be a centric part of the album. We'll have to wait and see.
We will find out. I don't have anything else to mention, so we'll move on to the next track now, Be Careful What You Wish For.
Long, mate.
It is really long, that one.
How long is that?
5:40.
Yeah, right. Oh, that'd be a really great, like, 3-minute.
Yeah.
Track. It gets a bit like kind of stoner rock there for a while.
It's very groovy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dare I say there's a bit of a come together in there?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Certainly. So, for those who might want to compare, I'll play the opening or the main sort of hook to this song. Here you go.
It's a great hook as well.
No wonder it's a great hook. It's obviously inspired a little bit by...
Dun, 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 dun. I was trying to think of what it sounded like, but it just come together. Yeah.
And also, just another thing. Can you tell me how many chords are in this song?
Two?
One.
One.
It's the same chord throughout the entire song.
It's just the bass that plays that little bass line, that come together like thing, yeah?
I think that's a guitar.
Right. What chord is it?
I don't know. I haven't looked up the chords or the tab yet.
There you go.
But it's just the same chord throughout, but just, you know, little variations on what's happening and.
Yeah, right. I swear I could have heard two, but there you go.
Yep.
One chord.
So anyway.
Yeah, it's super long, but.
But some really good parts.
Some great parts.
That's
probably the best song, I reckon, so far.
See, I'd agree.
Yeah.
We agree on something.
We agree.
I really love the backing vocals in this
song.
They take this song to a whole level, other level.
The female voices were fantastic.
Yeah, they were. But as you said, it's just repetitive. It's a bit like the last song. It's a couple of great ideas that are brought together, but there's nothing really
just
that breaks
fleshed out far too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, that can be an issue. And it actually tires the listener, I think, as well.
And yeah, so it,
the
it
enjoyment
does.
Gets sucked from the
it does.
From the song.
If I had the opportunity, I would certainly take 2 minutes out of this song.
Quite comfortably.
But I feel obliged to listen to the whole thing because I love the way it ends with the backing vocals.
Yeah, it does end very cool.
I think coolly. It's like they're almost like really fragile the way the backing vocals.
So, yeah,
you know. So I'll give those a play. That fragility, the way the female vocalists make their voices sound when compared to everything else, just when everything is taken away and they're left on their own, you just hear that, you know,
which
bit of vulnerability.
It makes you wonder what more there is tucked away in that big sound.
Yeah.
You know, the great little bits of tone and musical expression that might be covered up by that big sound.
Certainly. But yeah, definitely highlight of the album so far for mine.
Absolutely.
Just cut it down a little bit, Noel. Anyway, so here's the next song, Black and White Sunshine. Out of everything we've heard so far, I'd say that's the most Oasis tune.
Yeah.
Out of everything so far.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, that's true.
In fact, I'd love to hear 90s Liam sing that.
Or even now
it's
Liam.
It's such an Oasis song.
Now Liam would be interesting.
Yeah, now he's even now Liam, because he sounds really good these days.
More grunt,
but I really like that one. It's a really simple rock song, and that's something we haven't really had on this album so far.
Yeah, what, 340 or 350?
Yeah, about 340.
Yeah, that's what you needed.
Yep.
You needed a break from that, you know, experimental kind of thing. And yeah, well written, lots of different sections, which get me happy.
Yeah, it's another great little verse hook that's really boosted by that backing guitar.
Yeah.
That riff, which is really, really good, so I'll play that now. Nice clean tone, nothing fancy, real emphasis on highlighting the actual note rather than the tone. And again, Noel with another little great verse hook.
Mm.
It's a really simple song. I like the positivity, I suppose, in the chorus.
Yeah.
It's a real like, yay sort of
it's
song.
It's a bit of a pick-me-up, isn't it?
And I really find Noel's attraction towards the French language quite interesting because I do believe I heard qu'est-ce que c'est.
Yeah, right. I see.
In the chorus there. That's French, isn't it?
It is.
Yes.
Qu'est-ce que c'est? Is what is it? No, what is it that it is or something? But hang on.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll have a look at it during when we listen to the next song.
Yeah.
But overall, I really, really like the.
Yeah, that's
like that song. Yeah.
I'm liking where this album is going.
Yeah, it's pretty
it's
good.
It's starting to take off.
Now this next song is interesting because it's a 2-minute instrumental piece.
Oh, really?
You're filled with excitement. It's called Interlude,
yeah.
Bracket Wednesday Part 1, close bracket.
Do
just to break up things a little bit. So that's all it is, just a 2 minute little, literally an interlude. Musically, I think it's quite good. It's sort of builds up as it progresses. So it starts off with that lone acoustic guitar with some, I think, some keyboard or something in the background, and then it just slowly builds, and you've got all these other layers of guitars and keyboards.
It's wanky to make it a song. Like, an interlude doesn't have to be, this is an interlude. It can just be on the end of a song or the start of a song.
Yeah,
like
I find
it's a separate track.
Yeah, yeah, I find it weird that this is a song on the album. I'm not really sure what purpose it serves, or the name Wednesday Part 1.
Because
there is Wednesday Part 2 at the end of the album.
Maybe write them on Wednesdays.
Maybe. But musically, I think it's really good. But again, it's a 2 minute track, and I just don't really see what purpose it's, other than providing an interlude.
This reminds me of the Divinyls one.
Oh, yeah, the cafe interlude.
Cafe interlude.
That's,
you know,
right.
And we're like, oh, yeah.
There we go.
Doesn't really need it, but yeah. Sure. Right.
It's hard to comment on it, this one. But what I'll do is I'll play that little acoustic intro, and you can.
That's nice.
Yeah, yeah. You can hear. I mean, the part we just played is when everything is sort of playing and it's all dynamic. So you can hear where it starts off. Here you go. Honestly, I don't think I have anything else to say about it.
Yeah.
It's quite pretty.
Yeah, pretty.
It's a nice chord changes as well.
Let's just say it's pretty.
Yeah. So here we go. We're into the last little bit of the album now. So here is If Love Is the Law.
You know, it's funny, there's a Paul Kelly song called Love Is the Law.
Of course there is.
So, yeah, maybe he's been listening to a bit of the back catalogues of Paul Kelly. So.
You know what I like to call this?
What?
I like to call this Noel Gallagher's Christmas song.
Yeah, it is a bit like...
You got the bells.
It's a bit jingle
bells,
isn't it?
In the background.
Yeah.
Straight away, when the song first opens, you've got this, you know, really cool chord progression with the sleigh bells,
yeah,
of all things in the background.
Yeah, I noticed that.
So, have a listen to that. Real big sounding song, particularly in the chorus, as we played before. I quite like it.
I think lyrically it's the least annoying of all the songs.
Okay. least annoying, that's interesting.
Musically it's fantastic.
Yeah.
I think that's the chorus of the song so far.
Chorus of the album.
So you can tell it's been a long day, Jack.
It has been a long day.
Chorus of the
nearly
album.
Nearly done.
So far, I think. Yeah, it's a real hook. And I know Noel Gallagher is very good at his hooks, so you would expect there to be great hooks on this album. But, you know, I'm pleasantly surprised with a couple of these songs.
Well, there you go. I love the way the chorus ends as well. Just that little, and this is a cry. And
yeah,
then it just goes back into the verse.
Yeah,
it's almost unexpected the way it ends.
Yeah, I was saying,
expecting that.
This would be a good Oasis song.
Yeah, you were saying it'd be cool if Liam.
If Liam was singing this, they could do some really great kind of pairing backing vocals, I suppose.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that'd be good to see.
Yeah, but yeah, Noel's Christmas song.
Noel's Christmas song.
Noel's Christmas
that's what
song.
It could be.
It's a good name.
Noel. Get it?
Sorry?
Noel. You know they say Noel? Yeah.
That's a good one, yeah.
Thanks, man.
We'll move on to the second last song now.
This
is called The Man Who Built the Moon.
So is it? That was my next question. When do we find out who built the moon?
Well, we're about to find out.
Fantastic. That was interesting, wasn't it?
It's real anthemic and just really almost eerie at times, really haunting.
Yeah, it had some dissonant kind of string
yeah.
things going on there. I'm not really sure what they were, but they definitely caught my ear.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. It's real big sounding as well. We talk about how Holy Mountain was really big sounding. This is also really big sounding,
yeah, well,
especially in that, yeah, just that big chorus part that's probably repeated a few too many times for my liking.
Well, that's probably been the biggest issue of the album.
Yeah.
That and the kind of the bassy sound. It's interesting to hear those kind of higher pitched notes and stuff, because it hasn't really been given much airtime for those higher pitched sounds, which I think you need when you've got such a bassy sounding album.
Yes.
In full. But I got a real kind of Slavic Russian thing.
Yeah, I know.
From
we,
that.
Saw, we heard at the end of that chorus there, that real sort of like chanting.
Yeah, yeah. Which is interesting because, you know, it's, I suppose it's about space. You know, the Russians in space.
Oh, yeah, good one.
I don't know if there's
so
any.
So is that like the Russians built the moon?
Yeah, maybe.
Is there something the government isn't telling us?
Yeah, maybe. Mm.
But more than any...
what a way to finish a podcast.
So... I love the way this song starts with the real just rocky, you know, distorted guitar and drums.
I thought I was actually going to hear more of that, to be honest.
Yeah, I would have liked to hear more of that as well, yeah.
So this is Noel Gallagher and the High Flying Birds, isn't it?
Yes.
It's not just Noel Gallagher.
It's not just Noel Gallagher. It's saying that the High Flying Birds, they sort of change around a little bit.
Yeah, well, they fly around, don't they?
They fly around, certainly. Yeah. But just quickly, before we move to anything else, here is the intro of that song. I think it's a really good way to close the album.
Mm.
But saying that, it's not what closes the album.
Mm.
See, usually now we'd go into the last song, which is called End Credits Wednesday Part 2.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, we just had a bit of a listen to it. It's pretty much the same thing as Wednesday Part 1, the interlude we heard beforehand. So really, I don't feel that it's worth playing.
No.
You, trust us when...
Just go back. Just go back and listen to the...
Honestly, it's pretty much the same. You're not missing out on much.
Yeah. It's that main guitar thing, which I think is... I don't think that's really a great way to finish the album. It's a bit boring.
Yeah.
I think. Especially after such a big...
Real big song. I think that's the perfect way to close a song, especially with the title, The Man Who Built the Moon. The album's called Who Built the Moon, so it just provides that nice closure to it all.
Yeah, finally we...
Finally we know.
We know who did it. It's the Russians. We know now.
The Russians.
It's the Russians.
So we have done the album... Done two albums today. That's a big...
Yeah, exhaustive, isn't it?
Big bit of work, but we've done well, I feel. So, Campbell, can you give me a favourite song from the album?
Run through the names again.
All right, so Fort Knox, Holy Mountain, Keep On Reaching, Beautiful World, Taught Me How to Fly, Care for What You Wish For, Black and White Sunshine.
Those middle three.
So, Be Careful What You Wish For, Black and White, Love Is the Law, or She Taught Me How to Fly.
She Taught Me How to Fly was cool.
Yep. Care for What You Wish For?
Can't remember that one.
Which is the one chord one.
So
let it go.
Oh, yeah. That's okay.
And Black and White Sunshine.
Yeah.
The real Oasis.
Yeah, that was that was more what I was expecting, I must say. So maybe I like that just because it gave me a sense of security about what I...
fair enough.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what about yourself?
Well, I definitely go for Be Careful What You Wish For.
Yeah.
Even though it's probably the simplest song on the album because it's one chord... There's not a whole lot going on in regards to dynamics.
Mm.
It just, I don't know, I just really like the groove of it. And I get it real.
Sometimes all you need is just, I like it.
Yeah, honestly.
You don't need to justify it too much more than I just like, when it plays, I just like what it sounds like.
Yeah, honestly. I mean, I love the guitar lick
that
you hear throughout. The backing vocals, that's one of the best things of the album.
Is that the song at the end where the...
The backing vocals just sort
of... that was great.
That was really, really good. So, it's probably the best part of the
album. Usually I know all the song titles because I've done my notes and I've done like stuff.
But a bit off the cuff.
As a first listen, it got a lot better, like quickly.
Yeah.
But I still think Liam's is the better album.
Well, I was going to get to this a little later, but firstly, is there a song or two you'd take out on top of your head?
I would actually maybe even move Fort Knox to the end.
Interesting.
I'd have that down the bottom, and I'd get rid of both interludes. as boring as that.
I'd even try and turn it into a proper song because I think the music's good enough to justify some nice melodies or something going over the top. But saying that, of course, we can't do that.
And so that second opening track,
Holy Mountain.
Yeah, I'd start with that.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Because it's a big single.
I like Fort Knox as the opener, so I'll leave that in the same place. Yeah, honestly, I just take out the interludes.
Yeah.
So in the end, that just leaves it as a 9-track album. But before we wrap this segment up, there is one thing I'll bring up. There is a couple of bonus tracks on this album, one of which I believe is one of the best songs Noel has ever written.
Right, it's not on the album.
It's not on the album. It's an acoustic version of the song that's performed live in the studio.
Mm.
So it's really like reverby. You can hear like the vulnerability in Noel's voice.
Yep.
It's almost a little bit Springsteen at times.
Right.
According to my father, when I showed him.
What's that one called?
Dead in the Water.
Right, okay. It sounds like a Springsteen song as well.
Yeah, there you go. Honestly, I can see why it didn't make the final album, but I would have loved it to be there because I think it's a fantastic song.
Mm.
But I think it didn't make the album because it sounds too much like old Noel.
Yeah.
Like what he would usually do. I think
trying to recreate himself.
I think with this album, yeah, he's really trying to do something different. And I applaud him for doing that. And I think for the most part, he's done pretty well here.
Mm.
Just maybe a bit self-indulgent at times with some instrument choices. Some of the song links. Maybe thinking some segments of songs are better than what they really are.
But hey, he's Noel Gallagher.
He's Noel Gallagher.
He's half of Oasis. And it's self-indulgent because he can be.
Exactly.
I mean, there are only people out there who think this is the greatest piece of music ever written. Greatest body of music ever.
Mm.
That's just the way it is. Some people just think this is the best thing he's ever done.
Yeah.
You know, because it turns them on. This wasn't you know, my thing. Mind you, got a lot better.
It did, yeah.
So, I mean, that middle section of the album...
That's when it really picked up.
...was really good, and it was different. I hadn't heard... So he should rest assured that it was different to what I had expected.
Yep.
From a kind of an Oasis in inverted commas.
Yeah, I should have asked you beforehand what you're expecting from this album.
I was expecting a little bit more. I don't know.
Just like run of the mill Oasis material.
Pop, kind of pop rock, kind of more like Liam Gallagher stuff.
Yeah.
But when you said it's kind of slarky, I'm like, oh, yeah, there might be one or two songs. I didn't expect kind of the 6-minute synth.
Yeah, but saying that. I mean, I said psyche, but saying that it wasn't as brain melting as I was expecting.
No.
When I first listened to it, I was expecting some real psyche, just, you know, sort of style overtures and just all this weird stuff. But overall, it sort of balanced the, you know, sort of pop songwriting, the psych influences pretty well.
It was well balanced.
Yeah.
Perhaps, you know, every now and then it slid to one side or the other side too much, but... Overall, I was
pleasantly... You didn't hate it.
I was pleasantly surprised.
I'm glad.
Is what I'll say.
I'm very glad. So, I mean, with the Gallagher brothers, just moving on to this now, as you brought up earlier, there's always going to be the comparisons of who's having the better solo career. You know, it's always you pick a side, which Gallagher are you on?
Yeah, well, no, I mean, Noel's got the head start.
Well, he's 3 solo albums. I mean, Liam did the stuff with BDI, which sort of counts as solo stuff.
Mm.
But... I mean, it wasn't as great as what Noel's done, in my opinion. But, you know, honestly, I don't really see the point of picking a side, you know?
Yeah, that's quite a diplomatic way, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thrilled that we've got 2 very talented songwriters and performers who, you know, instead of coming together to release 1 Oasis album every 3-4 years, now there's 2 Gallagher albums every 3-4 years.
I actually like the competition.
Oh, so do I. I love reading about it.
Yeah.
The fact that Noel happens to have an album coming out a couple months after his brother.
Yeah.
I love it.
I mean, being a brother, knowing very much about sibling rivalry, if my brother was a singer and I was a singer, I would be putting my album out 2, 3, 4 weeks after he did.
Yep.
Because I can.
Why not?
So, yeah, the competition there is rife, you know, it's and such a part of what
especially because they hate each other.
Yeah, like they really hate it. Like I got nothing but love for my brother, but they genuinely don't like each other.
Yeah, and they'll do whatever they can to outdo each other.
Yeah,
but I mean, I don't like to compare albums often.
Yeah,
or give them ratings for that regard.
Yeah,
in that regard, but
well, I'll give yeah you go, but I'll give you some ratings if that's what we're going.
Look, I think Noel. His album is a lot more varied in instrumentation and tone and I think that's fantastic. But on a songwriting and performing front, I think Liam takes the cake.
This album is 50% worse than Liam's.
I had to think about that for a second.
So if Liam Gallagher's album, As You Were,
yeah,
were a 8 out of 10, this would be a 4 out of 10.
Interesting. But what is Liam Gallagher's As You Were to you? Like out of 10, for instance. We don't give ratings on this podcast.
Oh, 7 or 8.
7 or 8. So
I really enjoy it.
Yep.
I think the songs individually, as we look at them, are better than these songs.
I agree. I do agree.
Maybe as an album, as a body of work, this might be more artistic, yeah, more clever. But as just like as radio songs.
Yeah. On like in terms of like catchy songwriting, yeah, Liam's album is better. And I think it is the better album.
Yeah.
But saying that, that doesn't mean that I don't love this album, because I really enjoyed Who Built the Moon.
Huh. There you go.
So that wraps up today's podcast. Mm. We're coming to the end of our 2-podcast marathon today. Yeah, well, so we've done two.
We started at what, 12:30 or so?
Yeah, with the midnight oil. It's nearly 20 to 6.
Yeah.
So we've done, I feel like we've done well.
Yeah.
I feel like just talking ourselves up.
Yeah, no, but it is. I mean, it has been kind of tiring, especially when you're trying to give the same amount of consistency,
yeah,
towards the second album. So that's why I tried to be not as harsh.
And the thing is that today we happen to be in my home studio.
Yeah.
And it's a bit more comfortable than our usual recording studio, which is actually like professional and soundproof, as opposed to mine, which is probably your worst nightmare, being a recording engineer.
I mean, but I mean, you'd hear the differences. I'm sure I'll hear the differences and grit my teeth, but you know, that's the way it is.
Of course you would.
Yeah, anyway, so yeah, that was it. I actually must say pleasantly surprised.
I am very glad.
So that's it. What's in the plans, the works for the next few weeks in your eyes, Jackie boy?
Well, just so you know, we are going to be doing a raffle next week.
Yep.
We will be doing a track by track raffle. It'll be our third raffle. We are very, very excited about it. So stay tuned to the Facebook page. We'll be providing updates and the opportunity for you to submit your suggestion. Yep. We'll let you know when you can. I'll upload another little podcast thing just outlining the process of that.
Yep.
We want it to be big this time.
Mm.
We want it to be really big. We'll be doing another live stream.
Mm-hmm. It's been a while since you did one of those. So.
It has been a while. So we'll give you all the details on that as we know them, but it'll be most likely on the, just looking at my calendar.
See where it can fit me in.
It'll most likely be around the 8th of December.
Right.
And also, what's exciting, Campbell, is, I mean, when this is released on Sunday, in 2 days' time, we'll be seeing Paul McCartney.
Yes, we will.
Which is just massive. So we'll provide a full review of that in our next episode.
Absolutely.
But until then, I'm Jack.
I'm Campbell.
And this has been Track by Track with
Campbell
and Jack.
Bye-bye.
Bye.